Take the last train to Pottsville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30 because I've made your reservation. Don't be slow.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you, Mickey Dolenz. I grew up in Pittsburgh, but my grandmother and other close relatives lived across the state. So when I was young, we traveled by train to see them. It was glamorous and fun. You dressed up. In the dining car, there was a cook who made things like bacon and eggs to order. It's not the same today. The glamour seems to be gone, and so are a lot of the riders. But why? And what does Amtrak have to do to bring them back? I'm joined now in studio by two advocates of train travel, Lucinda Beattie. She's Vice President of Transportation for the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. Lucinda Beattie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
And also joining the conversation with us here in studio is Mark Spada. He is a board member at Western Pennsylvanians for Passenger Rail. Mark Spada, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Paul.
And we'd like you to join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Do you travel by train? What do you like about it? What do you dislike? Do you avoid train travel? If so, why? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Train travel appears to be up. During the last fiscal year ending in October, more than 6 million people reportedly traveled on Amtrak, which is an increase of nearly 2%, if you round those figures off, from the year before. But will train travel remain a viable option for Western Pennsylvanians without additional trains between Pittsburgh and Harrisburg to offer more convenient travel times? Lucinda.
Well, I think the addition of two more trains at a minimum would make a huge difference in terms of how viable the service would be. It is a very viable service right now as it stands. I mean, it provides the only public transit access for many of the small towns between Harrisburg and Pittsburgh. And if it disappeared, which I don't think PennDOT has any plans of eliminating the Pennsylvanian, those towns would be severely hurt.
Which towns are we talking about?
We're talking about Greensburg, Latrobe, Tyrone, Huntington, Altoona, and Johnstown are the major stops along the route.
And why aren't there more trains? What's the deal?
Well, when we've been advocating for the additional service is actually based on the success that the state has had in the eastern part of the state. Right now, the Pennsylvanian, as Lucinda mentioned, is the only train between here and Harrisburg on a daily basis. But between Harrisburg and Philadelphia, there are 13 additional trains during the weekday, and most of those going on to New York. So a great amount of success in terms of the increase in ridership has been the increase in frequency that they've seen over the past 7 to 8 years. And what we're hoping for is that the increase in service to Pittsburgh will see a similar rise in the ridership to Western Pennsylvania. And the train is all right now, just by itself, is very popular. It has among the highest ridership capacity of any route on the Amtrak system. That is the number of available seats that are filled by passengers. It actually, this might surprise many of the listeners, it actually exceeds the capacity numbers in terms of the number of seats filled for both the Acela, the high-speed train between Boston, New York, and Washington, as well as the rest of the trains on the Northeast Corridor. The Pennsylvania actually has more of its seats filled on an annual basis. So if there were—
That is surprising.
Yes, and it would be to a lot of folks. And if there were additional trains available, we believe there's a demand, an unmet demand there. So rather than there not being interest in rail service to Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania, we believe there's actually great interest that just isn't being met now by one daily train.
And so how many times, if you want to travel to Harrisburg from Pittsburgh on Amtrak, what are the options? How many times a day do you have to choose from?
There's one daily train that leaves at 7:30 in the morning. And then there's a mid-afternoon train that returns to Pittsburgh.
And that seems ridiculous.
Yeah. I think we would agree with that. that it is unfortunate that there isn't more service, particularly when you consider how limited other transportation modes are. I mean, 50 years ago, Pittsburghers and residents of southwestern Pennsylvania had many more choices. We had a hub system at our airport. There was more bus service. And 50 years ago, there was much more train service. Today, if you're trying to go anywhere within a radius of 500 miles of the city of Pittsburgh, your choices are very limited. It's either the automobile or an occasional bus or this once-a-day train.
So if you're trying to get people, and you're advocates for using the train, so if you're trying to get people to use the train, I mean, how much of a problem is that?
Well, it certainly becomes.
If I don't want to, in other words, if I want to go to Harrisburg by train and I don't want to leave at 7:30, then I have no other choice other than to take the drive, right?
I don't think the problem is the train. The problem is the change that occurred in the way Amtrak's system was managed back in 2008. There was a law passed called PREA, and train routes under 750 miles became state-managed routes. So the issue really resides with our PennDOT, our state transportation department, and the need for them to negotiate with Amtrak and with Norfolk Southern for additional service.
And actually, to your question and your point before about the popularity of rail travel, in other parts of the country where they have seen increases in frequency, the ridership has increased dramatically. For example, in California, throughout Southern California and the San Joaquin Valley, in the Pacific Northwest, routes out of Chicago, short-distance routes to Michigan, to Milwaukee, and St. Louis, have all seen large increases in ridership, largely based on increased frequency. And the same thing happened here in Pennsylvania. And it's an excellent model for what could happen in western Pennsylvania.
So frequency, choices of times to travel has a lot to do with it. I want to also get into amenities here as we go along in our conversation, but I also want to allow callers to take part. And we have some folks on the line at 412-246-2002. We'll get to all of you. Let's start with Lydia in Avalon. Lydia, you're on Essential Pittsburgh. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
You sound like you're traveling.
I am. I'm on my way to the mall.
Are you driving?
Well, yeah, but I have Bluetooth, so I'm
all right.
Fine.
Okay, well.
Hands are on the wheel.
Okay, good. you wanted to make a comparison.
Right. I mean, I've ridden trains in Europe. I've ridden first class. I've ridden trains in India, which is no comparison. But I've also ridden the train here from Pittsburgh to Virginia. And it's very nice. It was a comfortable ride. I didn't ride in a car. You know, I didn't ride in a sleeper car or anything like that. My only complaint was it doesn't leave. I mean, it leaves at 5:20 in the morning. You have a four-hour layover in D.C. and then onto Virginia, which is kind of a long day. I don't know why you can't leave a little later since you've got this huge four-hour layover, but it's not bad. It's a comfortable ride. I can't complain.
What did you do to kill the 4 hours during the layover in Washington? Can you get off and walk around, or are you staying on the train that whole time?
No, you can get off and walk around, and I do have friends in D.C., so we met up for lunch, and because you don't have to be there early. That's kind of a nice thing, too. Like, when you fly, you have to be there early to check in and all that other stuff. When you're going by train, you don't have to be there early for all of that. You can get there 5 a.m. and just so long as you don't miss the train in case it's running, early.
Mm. Well, what about Lydia's comparisons and also the long day that she says that she had because, again, we're talking about limited options for departure times?
Well, I think the train that Lydia was referring to is called the Capital Limited, and it runs between Washington and Chicago. Again, on that is an Amtrak long route. And I think from Western Pennsylvanians for passenger rails perspective, we had more options in dealing with our own state system, as opposed to dealing with Amtrak, one of Amtrak's long routes. Again, it's only one train a day. The demand probably is much greater for people being able to go between Washington and Chicago, but the choice isn't there.
But actually, excuse me, unlike a few years ago, even now on the Pennsylvanian, you can get work done through Wi-Fi service, as an example, which is available on many Amtrak trains around the country. So the train has now become sort of a rolling office, if you will, and it's whether it's for business or even or for pleasure travelers. So the ability to take the time to be able to do other things, whether it's reading or relaxing or getting work done, rather than driving. And certainly anybody who's driven the turnpike knows that particularly certain times of the year, and we're getting into the time of the year where that could be quite an ordeal, being able to travel by train allows you to do other things in those hours in which you're actually traveling.
No, it is one of the great things about not having to drive, and it's a little harder to do if you're on a bus, but if you're on a train, you've got a little more room to spread your stuff out, and it's a little more relaxing. Let's go to Martha in Pittsburgh at 412-246-2002. Martha, you are on with Lucinda Beatty and Mark Spada, who are train travel advocates. Hi.
Hi, this is Martha, and I am calling about the train station in Pittsburgh. Our original train station, which was beautiful, like they are in many parts of the country,
has now been
converted to housing. So we are stuck with this dirty, ugly area underneath without any real parking. Very hard to be dropped off and picked up, and it's hard for cabs. And it's really a disgrace when people from out of town come in and are dumped off in this and they don't know where to go. It's just a mess. I think something should be done with it.
Well, it's a good point that you make. And the Pennsylvania Railroad Station, it's now called the Pennsylvanian, and it does have housing units in there, condos, apartments, and they are upscale. So why wouldn't the train station, where some few trains actually still depart out of, why wouldn't that station be kept up better than what Martha was just describing? What do we know about that?
I have to say that I couldn't agree more with Martha about the state of the station. That's something that I know our organization and the Pittsburgh Community Reinvestment Group are very interested in looking at. But again, I don't know the details of who owns the station. The Amtrak may be renting from the Pennsylvanian. And of course, the entire train station was, that was sold to
right.
make condominiums.
Well, I guess the building was almost lost, which would have been a shame because it's
like beautiful.
So many train stations, it's an architectural marvel. And I can remember taking the train in and out of there as a kid. So it used to be a high functioning station. Mark, what are your thoughts?
Well, the state does have a program in place, plans in place to improve stations in the Harrisburg-Philadelphia corridor. Because many of those need to be rehabilitated as well. So some of those ideas can be replicated in Pittsburgh. The Greensburg station, as an example, is a restaurant for part of its use. So there are ways to make the station a hub of activity, whether it's in a town the size of Pittsburgh or smaller towns along the route. So the caller's point is well taken. That station does need some help. As do many along the whole route to Philadelphia. And so that's something our organization would like to see happen as well.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and you just heard Mark Spada, who is a board member at Western Pennsylvanians for Passenger Rail. And also with us is Lucinda Beatty, who is the vice president of transportation for the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. Let's go to Kevin in West Mifflin with a comment. Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about the convenience. I drive to Harrisburg 5 or 6 times a year to take the train from Harrisburg to New York. And coming back, I can get my ticket validated. I only have to pay $5.10 a day to park at Harrisburg. So So it takes about 6 hours if I do the drive and do the train, if you catch a train at the right time. The other side of it is Amtrak has an app that allows me to change my ticket on the fly, and as long as the fare is the same, there's no extra cost involved in that.
Sounds like a pretty good deal.
Oh, it is. It is. I just wish that they had more trains out of the city so I wouldn't have to drive there.
That seems to be a common lament, and wouldn't it be? Is that something you would prefer, right, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd much rather drive downtown or drive someplace where I could park my car, catch the bus downtown, and get on the train, and then go to New York and come back.
And is this part of work that you go to New York for?
Sometimes it's work, and sometimes it's, you know, just to go to the city, to go to New York, because the train lets you off right there at Penn Station, and you can get anywhere within, you know, New York, New Jersey, pretty quickly from there.
Okay, so what about Kevin's comment and question, really, about when are others going to be able to simply just park downtown or even be dropped off at the train station and not have to deal with driving at all and be able to go from Pittsburgh to New York?
Well, as soon as our proposal for two additional trains a day to have three trains a day is implemented, that would be a way to get that done. It would make it much easier to travel to Harrisburg and Philadelphia and New York. I have also driven to Harrisburg to take the train to New York, so I know exactly what the caller is talking about. It's not the easiest way to go, but sometimes you have to do it, and largely because there are very few other ways to get there that are reasonably priced and allow you to conduct business in a day and get back. And that's with one train a day out of Pittsburgh, it's been very difficult, and that's why we're advocating for more service.
Let's go to Richard, who's listening to us on our translator in Johnstown. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. How are things in Johnstown?
Oh, a little gloomy as usual, depressed, you know, but that's beside the point. I'm a lifelong devotee of the railroads, and I've always used the train as much as I could. Something was brought home to me 40 years ago when I lived in the D.C. area, and I would travel to Manhattan. Two reporters from the Washington Post raced to Manhattan, one taking the commuter airline and the other taking the train. And they left their home office and were to meet at their Manhattan office. And the fellow taking the train beat the guy taking the plane by 5 minutes or so because he was let out right in the middle of Manhattan, and all he had to do was walk a block or two to his office rather than that wretched commute in from LaGuardia or wherever.
Well, yeah. If you fly into LaGuardia or Kennedy, you then have to figure out how to get into the part of New York that you want to get to, whether it's Manhattan or wherever it happens to be. So, Richard, do you still use the train?
Any chance I can. In fact, for the last 8 years or so, we've been taking a trip to Manhattan for a weekly or 10 days or whatever, and we always take the Pennsylvania, and it's the only way to fly, so to speak, going to Manhattan, because we're let out at the Penn Station two blocks from our hotel. All we have to do is walk over there. It's a much more pleasant experience than trying to fly nowadays, and more dignified on top of everything else. And the trip may be 8 hours long, but I thoroughly enjoy every minute of it. And if I were to drive or fly, I wonder how much time would I save, really.
Well, it's a good point. And Richard, you certainly are echoing the thoughts of the other folks who've called in that they would like it to be more convenient, but in spite of that, they really enjoy traveling by train.
And you know, calling from Johnstown, Johnstown is illustrative of the towns along the route that are cramped in terms of travel alternatives by one train a day. There's virtually no air service, and bus service is minimal as well. So for a wide range of possible travelers, senior citizens, younger travelers who may not own cars, fewer folks in their early 20s, for example, are own cars. So they're looking for alternatives to travel, and they're just not finding many in western Pennsylvania.
Well, go ahead, Lucinda.
Oh, I just wanted to add that for many of the towns along the route, the point the caller made about the train station being in the center of the downtown is still very true. The train station is near the core of their commercial areas, and as an economic development tool, increased service could offer a lot of opportunities to this part of western Pennsylvania.
Alec on Twitter says regional growth will come from better rail service. Westmoreland County and Johnstown would benefit tremendously with a regional third line. What about that?
A regional
third line.
You mean like a commuter rail line between Westmoreland County and Pittsburgh?
That would seem to be what he's indicating.
Well, I think that's an admirable aspiration. Cost becomes a real problem. I mean, the line between Pittsburgh and Harrisburg, because of the topography and the limitation in terms of the rail lines that are there or not there. I mean, it used to be four rail lines, and in places, there's only one now. In order to make changes that would accommodate passenger rail along with the freight rail that is on that line, it's very expensive.
Well, I wish we had more time, but we have to wrap up this segment. But I want to thank both of you for joining us for an interesting conversation. Obviously, the listeners were engaged. Lucinda Beattie is Vice President of Transportation for the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. And Mark Spada is a board member at Western Pennsylvanians for Passenger Rail. Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll continue our look at the future of passenger train travel with Melissa Daniels. She's transportation reporter at the Pittsburgh Tribune-Review. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.